Hey guys and gals, welcome back to another Monday evening Building Small Business live stream. Tonight I'm joined by Tyler Paul Anthony, who I met in, I believe it was in sales school with Justin Janowski. His business is Faith to Influence. He helps Christian coaches build their business and learn an amazing sales process. And so Tyler and I connected through that. And we're like, hey, I'd love to have you come on the podcast. And I'm going to read the bio that Tyler sent me, which he said is all a pack of lies. But I don't know. You probably can't believe that one. Tyler has over 10 years of coaching and personal development experience and 25 years in meditation. That's a long time to meditate. I have a rough time sitting with it for 5 minutes. But he's
I'm doing it now. It's been 25 straight years.
Doing it now. From a deep dive into the Eastern and esoteric worlds, which are the very roots of nearly all modern coaching programs in the market, Tyler made it his mission to understand and eliminate any of the questionable New Age and unaligned practices in this area so he could help people of faith navigate the world of personal and professional development without compromising faith or values. Tyler, now before I ask you to introduce yourself, yeah. That was something that I've seen really huge in the world of personal development as well, is everything seems to go against what you find in the Bible. What was it that led you to, like, yeah, what made you go down the road of trying to align it with your faith?
What made it align with my faith? Well, you know, for me, it was always a matter of trying to determine and separate the tools, their origins, their capacity to help, and the worlds in which they are connected, I guess would be the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. I just have always had a fascination. I have a past and a history where I did a lot of deep dive into more esoteric belief systems, Gnostic Christianity, and I had myself surrounded by people in that world. And before I started realizing that something wasn't quite right, when it was all working really well for me, I had already kind of gone down that path. And I recognized some very fundamental things that that the origins of these don't align at the very root of where they come from, don't align with anybody who has any Judeo-Christian faith, even Muslim faith or any of those. It really aligns with a different path and mindset. And then once you learn the patterns, then you kind of see it everywhere and you can kind of figure out, oh, I know where that came from. Oh, I see that. And a bit of a nerd, so I dug really deep and I couldn't let anything go. So ADHD, nerd, interest all came together, and that's what I did.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So many people miss that, and there's so many partial truths in the personal development world, like things that sound right. But like you said, when you look deeper into it and really try to align it with faith and faith in God specifically, or faith in the God of the Bible specifically, and things just don't match up. And I'm interested if there's anything specific for you that like really that you had to change, or like what makes you, what you do align with faith versus like, how do you go about it differently versus the New Agey type stuff?
That is a really interesting and drawn out answer that I'll try to put as concisely as possible. So let me give you the meta kind of stance or the philosophy that we run all of our programs on, that I run my programs.
Okay.
And it's based on the concept that nothing was created bad. Nothing was created for not to be your benefit. And as a matter of fact, anything that is not of your benefit is not a creation. It's just a manipulation. So take cell growth for a moment. If you look at normal cell growth, it's amazing. It helps us become stronger. It heals our wounds. It does so much for us. It's everything that we want. We want it to even continue. But things like old age, death, cancer, those are all either the cell's not growing, or in the case of cancer, which is what I really want to focus on, is a multiplication of cells growing outside their purpose. So if you were to use the allegory of, you know, the angel being thrown and cast out of heaven who fell because they wanted to usurp God's position, it's not that the angel was bad. It's not that their power was bad, or even that they had created a bad thing. They were a good thing that went out of its purpose and out of alignment with what it was supposed to do. And I think we can see that in just about everything. So without going into a huge history and a theological construct, I'm a three-time seminary dropout, but I'm still really into theology and understanding that. But without getting into that, everything that was given to us was given to good, but how it's being presented and how it is, how it's exciting and tickling the ears of most of the people who are taking it, it is unaligned with those values. So what I want to do is say, like, take a look at those tools that were created by God, because the enemy can't create, can only manipulate, and can only use, and is the liar. So how do we take the truth of that and teach it for the benefit of his word? Does that, if that makes any sense at all?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Everything out there is predicated on truth. And if there's no truth behind it, or if there's not something original, it's hard to sell, you know, a lie if there's not also a truth behind it. And so I really like that explanation of how everything has been designed for good, but when it's outside of that order is when it's, you know, used, or when we call evil, for sure. So I'd love to go back in your history, and maybe even back before you got that awesome handlebar mustache, and talk about kind of your development from, you can go back to even when you were a child, if you want. Talk about how you became who you are today. Somebody who is three-time seminary dropout, has spent 25 years in meditation, and is really seeking to bring the personal, professional, spiritual growth, bring all of that into, I guess, the Christian world, or to align the two, not bring it into the Christian world because it is already there. But to align that development side of things with faith. That was a long question. I'd love to hear your backstory is the short version of the question.
Sure. Thanks. So, for me, I was raised in a house that was fairly secular, but we had a number of generations living in one house, all the way back to our first immigrants who came here. And in that, there was just a lot of a couple of things. I would say, one, a lot of the old world came with it. So we had a lot of, I don't want to say superstitions, but just the worldview that came from that my immigrant great grandparents who were living with me at the time was very different than the modern world that we saw. And being more aligned with Orthodox Christianity at the time, which is fairly mystical in its kind of in its theology, I think a very different upbringing, having all of those different cultures and viewpoints. I also had a mixed family, so Orthodox Christian, Catholic, Roman Catholic, Mormon, Christian, and then a few New Age cousins out there. You know, I always find it interesting when the more money gets involved in when people start to make it, they start to find themselves into more interesting spiritual things. I think there's a correlation there, but My family was really, really in the best intention, didn't want to railroad me into their church. So they let me go to all of these different spiritual spaces. And I was in Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles originally. And everything was there. Cult you could want. Every Hare Krishna book. And I was an avid reader, very young reader, and grew up in a very poor family. Any free book my mother would take, because I would devour them at a very young age, and she couldn't afford a library for me. So anybody, whatever they were selling, she would take it, right? Oh, a free book. I was reading Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Hare Krishna, self, like, so like just growing up in Los Angeles in that time, it was like the 70s. So all of that stuff just was fed in on an early age. So I think that, you know, you're trying to root yourself in your family's faith and yet you're trying to explore this thing. So that's when I started getting into more mystical Christianity, and one thing leads to another. And I just had it in my mind, I want to heal like Jesus. And I got to figure out how I can do that. So I really went looking for how can I touch somebody with my hands and heal them of their suffering. And I just really wanted to do that. Probably could in my official degree is in psychology, so I could probably tear that down with my mother's illness and all kinds of stuff, but whatever, we won't go there. But I really wanted to do that. I started finding any path, going to the Chinese neighborhoods, the Indian neighborhoods, all of these different cultures to try to find a way to heal. And that just set me on a journey. So for years and years and years, I just found different ways to do that. And then had a Christ, a born again moment, I think in my 30s, and really kind of said, okay, I'm not going to stray away from, to me, what was the Judeo-Christian faith. It was like it had to be rooted in the God of that Bible, Old and New Testament. And I just would always stick with that. No matter where I roamed, it was always kind of in that circle. And so for the past 25 right. years, it was me still searching in those spaces, but trying to align it and figure out what was the truth to the at the bottom of all of these things. And so that's what I've put together now is the fruit of those labors of those many, many years.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about experience is, you know, so often we start out trying to find purpose and wanting to create an impact without having gotten any life experience. And it's as you get that experience and as you search and you seek out and you find those things, you know, the Bible says seek and find, or ask and you'll receive, knock and the door will be open to you. As you seek and you knock and ask, we get these experiences, we get this wisdom and this knowledge. And if we hang on to those, I love the analogy of a pond with water flowing in. If there's no outlet, the pond just grows stagnant and dies. But as we get anything in life, experience, knowledge, money, even if it stops with us, pretty soon that flow is going to cut off too. It just seems to work that way across the board. You can only take in so much before you have to start giving out. And I love seeing you bring that point out too. Our experiences aren't meant for just us, but to help other people as well. So I'd love to ask, and I'm sure you have thoughts on this. And is there a difference in you mentioned personal development and professional development. Because this is building small business, is there a difference between secular professional or business development and Christ-centered business development?
So, absolutely, yes, but I have to with a caveat. Yes, with a caveat. Sure. So as a consultant, I help companies realign their learning and development. So I help people build better courses. I work in training and development in different corporations and align their missions and their values of their company with the training that they do and make that better. And for my sins, that's often what I do when I just need to make money and my passion projects aren't you know, working at the time, or I'm building them or whatever's happening. So in that way, in those businesses, they are about systems and structures, and hopefully your values are driven through your missions and your value statement and everything. And in those things, the individuals then can require the personal development, which is a lot of the training that I develop for these companies, so that the company is made stronger. But the professional development might just be, it really comes down to a series of skills. So, I love... I think it's Hormozzi who talks about there's no such thing as a soft skill. They're just measurable, transferable, teachable skills but they're micro skills that put together to create a construct. So in that way, that's very material or didactic. Like you need to do these things to get this outcome. How you approach that and how as an individual that you engage in that is what makes us different than robots. Because if I could, you know, if I could just get your AI to do it, and that's why hopefully we will still have jobs in the next, you know, 10 years, is that there is a human element that we do incorporate and include, and that's the spirit of that. But for me, the whole idea is personal and professional development. A lot of the work that I do, just to kind of put it in a nutshell, the first 3 months of working with me is really breaking down a lot of broken messaging and some of the stuff that you tell yourself or worse, the world has told you, and all of those kind of constructs and beliefs that you've built. We kind of disassemble those, and it's very much like a very patterned, it's, you know, it's 3 weeks, 1 week, 3 weeks, 1 week, 3 weeks, 1 week to work on these things. Mm-hmm. And we work on focus, clarity, and purpose, and really breaking those down. And there's no kind of, it doesn't become bespoke. You have to go through that system of 3 months just so that you can understand the self, who you are, your thought patterns, what are thoughts, what is mindset, what does manifestation mean? We don't do manifestation. There's reasons why, which I'd go into, but that's a whole nother podcast. But so we do that. And then once you're structured there, I don't work with you again. I don't work with hundreds of people. I only really take about 12 to 18 people a year. And after that first 3 months, okay, if you have decided on your purpose that this is something you want to continue with support and accountability for the next 3 months to build out that purpose. So then you come up with a blueprint or a plan, and that becomes more of like a professional development for a lot of people, not everybody. Some people it's just about some personal things, but they might say, oh, I really have a passion for this. I want to build a business now. We'll help you find the resources and build that out. And then the full year, if you do that with me, is putting that into action. And then it's just weekly accountability sessions and just making sure that you're following through and that you're staying true to your mission and that you're aligning yourself with God's purpose for your life. So that's kind of how they differ in my mind.
Okay, that makes sense. You've mentioned purpose a couple of times, and that's something that I love to talk about. It's one of my topics that I do talk about a lot. I'm curious, how do you see purpose? What is purpose, and what is the focus of purpose, or what is the purpose of purpose? Like how do we grasp what it is and apply that in our own life?
Ooh, okay. Since it's the third phase of my training, I can't get to too much of the background of what builds up to this answer. But suffice it to say, in the yoga community, you have a lot of discussions about karma and dharma, right? And they have a belief of a reoccurring life or, reincarnation. So whatever things you did in the past that you need to account for, that is your karma, and you bring it into this life. And then your dharma, there are a lot of ways to determine this, but one of the popular ways is to say that's the work that you have to do to overcome that karma. I don't bother guessing what's on the other side. If God wants people to be reincarnated, I don't want to get into an argument about that or not, that's unimportant to me. But what I will say is that God has, if he has counted the numbers on your head and cares so much to know that much about you, that every cell in your body is determined for a purpose. Every experience that you have is determined for a purpose. And if you decide to go outside of it, that's okay, because the God can make light of dark things. And he'll just take what experience you just chose for yourself because of your free will and say, okay, are you ready now to walk to your purpose? And so it's a saying where it's better to die your own death than to live somebody else's life. And I really believe that. So everything that you're given and in the process of learning these things, you can determine what your purpose is and your God-given purpose. Everything that brought you to right now is the time that you make the decision of realizing what it is that you're supposed to be giving back to the world. And that could be grandiose. Sometimes that's like, oh, I need to, you know, I need to start this big company and start Pure Life Mastery and do this thing for men. And that was my path. And some people just need to be there, to be the presence of God on the assembly line and be sufficed in that. Like, it doesn't have to be this huge, overwhelming life experience. Not everything has to be, you know, we're not looking for fame. We're not looking for great riches. What we're really trying to do is align ourselves with what God has in store for us and be in the fullness of that and just accepting that, because it will give you more riches internally and in the kingdom than anything that I could teach you outside of, you know, in this personal development world. So,
yeah, you made a comment, or you had a phrase in there when you were talking there. You said what you can give to the world, like it's about what you can give. And I've got to ask, do you see purpose, or do most people see purpose as a specific thing? Like, my purpose is, I always like to use the analogy of Lord of the Rings and Frodo carrying the ring to Mount Doom and dropping the ring into the fires of Mount Doom. Most people see that act as what purpose is, in my experience. Mm-hmm. Would you say that as well, from what you, in talking with people and working with people on their purpose, do most people view that as a thing I am supposed to do? Or,
well,
and
I
then
think
we'll get into, I'd love to share with you how I view it as well.
Yeah, I do. If you bring up Lord of the Rings, I think that's a really great analogy, and we're sold that, you know, we're constantly sold that you should be discontented in the life that you have, and that there's a greater adventure for you, and you are the hero of your own tale, and you need to do whatever it takes to overcome, you know, all of the oppressions that are keeping you from realizing that. And that discontent is a really great way to sell people into programs that don't align with their true purpose, or most importantly, with God's purpose for their lives. So my purpose in life might have, one day I needed to move a log out of the road and onto, you know, the side of the road. It was a 3-second moment that allowed something greater to happen. You know, if we were going to use the Lord of the Rings analogy, the baker of the bread when they were eating, or that they took with them on the journey, is as important as that ring. And the purpose of that person to make that bread, for them to make that journey and take that ring there, needs to be understood and glorified in a way. So whenever somebody says to me, you know, well, I want to be, you know, I did this myself, no one, you know, helped me get this, and I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, I'm sorry, I ate an apple the other day, and it took like 27 people that I could think of off the top of my head to bring it to my mouth, right? From the cashier to the farmer to the person who picked it to the truck driver to, I mean, there's so many people involved supporting you to get you where you're going, and you are supporting others as well. So in the body of Christ, sometimes maybe I'm the heart or the eye, but sometimes I'm just, you know, the pinky toe, but I matter, right? So,
yes.
But, as, you know, everything that exists in heavens, you know, I think is, we are can only be taught these lessons through the material world. So, yes, we have to have a physical manifestation for us to understand this composite so that we can work this out and see God's glory. I don't, you know, you when you become a father, you're a different person than you were before you were a father. You see things in the world differently. So when you approach the material world, you can understand more of your purpose for the way that when I read the Bible now, I read it differently than I did 5 years ago. So.
Sure. Yeah. I think the problem with most of us is we are looking for, we want to understand the entirety of our purpose. Like, we can look at the story of Lord of the Rings and see that the ultimate event in Frodo's life was destroying the ring, carrying it to Mount Doom and destroying it. That was the penultimate event in his life and in the whole story. And we want to understand what that event is in our own life. The way I talk to people, or the way I describe it, is I love the Venn diagram. And so, you know, you've got three circles that overlap. In one of those circles is your skills, your passion, or it's your skills and everything that you've learned along the way in life. It's all of your experiences. In the other circle is your passions, the things that you're interested in and what God has you get excited about. It's the things that excite you. And then in the other one is the opportunities that are out there. It's the places that you can step in. And when you combine those three to make a difference in the lives of other people, like you talked about the baker baking the bread for Frodo to carry along the way to Mordor with him, that was not a singular event, but it was him living out his experience, doing what he was passionate about and stepping into an opportunity. He was living his purpose. And if we can find that thing for us that we're not only good at, but interested in and can make a difference for other people, it has to be outward focused, in my view. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Sorry, I'm an overthinker. So, and I'm always reticent to yes and no answers to anything that, as complicated as this. But so bear with me.
Yeah.
And then I'm also somebody who believes in killing your idols. So I'm very much like, you know, oh, this person was so amazing. And then I always have to say, well, was he? Let's take a look at his life and dig in. And
right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When somebody presents me like, oh, this Venn diagram, my brain automatically starts to try to tear it apart. And you know, that's why I've
I'm
so popular at parties. So yes, I think you can absolutely do, I think that is a tool to use to help people, and I use something similar to help people kind of work some stuff out. I think on another point though, I don't think that baker needs to know that that's what his purpose was about to be or what he was really doing, or even if that bread went with him. I think what's most important is that our highest purpose is to be in relationship with the Creator and with one another, right? Love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are all of the commandments, right, are hung. And I think that's the thing. It's about relationship. And our most important thing is to be about relationship and seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord, and all of these things will be given unto you. So if we do that, if we focus on that and just bask in the beauty of what is awarded to us just by doing that, we don't have to get too mired in our desires, which there's a whole thing about desire is a funny thing because desire doesn't die. Desire, if I'm hungry, I desire food. I eat, I've killed that desire. No, it goes, I think I'm thirsty, right? And it will do that until it goes, well, and I think I want a new TV. Like, oh, I think I want to go to the store and pick up a new magazine. It's always looking for an outlet. Desire doesn't die. To really have life mastery, it's about not letting that desire rule you, take you into lustful places, or either running from your discomfort or seeking pleasure, because then it's taking you by the nose. The trick is to know what your alignment is and tell desire where desire needs to go. And you say, well, I'm going to desire the heart of the Lord. I don't care how hungry I am. I don't care how cute the girl across the street is. I'm going to put my desire here. And then all of those other wants, as been promised to me, are going to come my way, but even better because they're going to be aligned with that thing that God wants for me. So that's kind of why I want to be like, yeah, I think it's important to know those things and that, but I don't want people to get too mired in their passions, because then they usually end up making anxious decisions, going down a lot of roads when, you know, let's realign and bring desire where, you know, ego's not bad, desire's not bad, but when they run our lives, we don't run theirs. That's when we run into a problem. So that's my yes to your question.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you. Like, it has to be aligned with God's word. If we are somebody who is not living a, you know, according to what God has written out for us, our interests and passions are going to be misaligned. they are going to be self-centered and self-focused for sure. So I love that you brought that out and clarified that and went deeper on that. That's perfect. I'd love to hear how you work with your clients and what type of people that you do work with. I think you mentioned you do work with men specifically, but go a little more into that and, you know, what kind of outcomes someone could come from that someone could expect through working with you.
Yeah. So it really depends on the client. You know, as much as my system, my 3-month system that you start out with, like I said, it's rather didactic and you kind of have to follow it. It's like a discipline. It's anything else, you're going to learn it. And then that's going to be the framework that we build on top of, but that might not be for you. You and I might be better working one-on-one. Maybe you've already done that work. Maybe you came from that world and we've had similar paths. And I recognize, you know, you're not going to need a lot of time doing that. We might just do something one-on-one. So we would have to see where those areas of your life need the most support and where you need support individually to be able to take you to that next level. So I don't have a flat answer as far as how I work with people. You know, it's men right now is my focus. I have in the past had mixed, and I will again. And actually, I am looking to put together something where I have a large enough group that a couple of women might want to learn this system and then become the face of that system so that they can focus on women. But I want a space where men can right. speak freely and be able to talk about the things that we're going to talk about without feeling reticent because there might be other people in the room, A. B, in the kind of new age yoga world that I came from, it is 99% women. And this stuff is available and accessible for women all the time. And that's great. It should be. I want women to have that. But when yes. you're a man of faith, you're already starting to feel weird. Like, can I connect with this? Is this something that would work for me? I feel kind of stupid doing this kind of stuff. I need to give a safe space for them to be men of faith coming into this world without compromising that faith. So what they can expect is that I'm going to teach you where the stuff comes from. I'm going to teach you why it doesn't align. I'm going to teach you what is the kind of thing that the Bible tells us is aligned. So if I were to say, going back to that manifestation thing, that is the root of sorcery. You're manipulating energies, doing those kinds of things. Well, we could just really work on what I just said, that focusing on God, of meditating on God, of aligning yourself with that and allowing those things. Because where you look is where you go. Any motorcycle rider will tell you that, right? That's how you hit the ground. Never look down, right? So if you look towards something, you can expect good things to come from that. So we don't have to manifest in the same way that manifest is taught. So I'm going to teach you the roots of it, tell you where it comes from, tell you where it comes from historically, and then put it in a framework that you feel comfortable with. And then nobody's forced to do anything. So whatever if you were like, I don't feel comfortable with that, you know, we'll just see if that's a block or if that's something that's just not the right time for you now. But ultimately, again, it comes to focus, clarity, and purpose. At the end of working together, that's what we're going to have. And then once we're there, it's about accountability. We'll get you to that next step. And we'll get you to that next place to where you're just feeling like you have a more fulfilled and meaningful life in alignment with the Lord.
Yeah. Love it. Focus, clarity, purpose. Those are three powerful words for sure. How does somebody come into your world and where do they find you at and begin the process of getting to know, you know, you and your programs and eventually get to work with you?
Yeah, that's if you're part of any of the Facebook groups that we're in, obviously there. But you can go to purelifemastery.com. You can reach out to me through there or tyleranthony.com. I can be found there. There's a place to do kind of like a jumpstart little, you know, 15-minute chat and just see if there's, you know, any place for us to work together, or if you just have questions about the kind of work that I do, you can just book it online there at purelifemastery.com.
All right, perfect. Anything you would share with somebody just getting started in the world of personal and professional development, like steer them towards something Christ-like that can guide them?
So if you're not spending, my first system is the 20-minute reset. It's the smallest amount of time to get the deepest amount of meditative prayer. But I teach it in 5-minute increments. If you're not spending at least 5 minutes a day in pure stillness, seeking the heart of the Lord, you have to. Like, that's going to set everything up. And if you can start your day, like, wash your face, brush your teeth, sit, and just be there in that. I think that's one of the most important things that you can do. And then I would say, every program that I teach talks about everything you do can't come from anxiety. It can't come from depression. Every decision has to be made with love. So every decision you make, how am I going to love somebody through this decision? Because love is an action word in this world. So if I'm going to do something, I start with, who am I loving and who's being affected by this? And then reverse engineer everything else backwards from there. So if you say, oh, I want to teach meditation, great. Pick that person at the end of the line who is receiving. It's the same thing as building an avatar. You're saying, this person, I'm going to love them through giving them a better life through what I'm about to teach them. And then you build everything backwards to make sure that your business reaches that person. And that's the best. That's the way I would do my courses. Mm. That's the way I do my business. That's the way I run everything.
Awesome. Tyler, thanks so much for your time tonight. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, we should do a coffee sometime.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah, maybe. All right.